You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 19th, 2021, President Joe Biden stating in an ABC News interview, he estimates something like 15,000 Americans are still stuck in Afghanistan. 15,000. That was his estimation. And when it comes to getting Afghans who supported our troops, either as interpreters or in other fashions, to get them and their families out, Biden says our estimates are 50 to 65,000. Now, the Pentagon yesterday said 22,000 Afghan allies. Who's right? I don't know. I don't know if they're guessing. Spin the wheel and see what number it lands on. Is that what they're doing? Now, even though Biden estimates 15,000 Americans, that was his statement yesterday. Today, John Kirby, Pentagon spokesman, said, I don't know. Yeah, he's asked, how many? He says, we don't really know. He said, but Americans should understand we're trying to get it all done before August 31. A bipartisan group of more than 50 senators signing off on a letter urging Biden to immediately evacuate Afghan special immigrant visas, the SIVs, and their families to give them some protection. But, of course, we also want to get our Americans out first. Now, versus the numbers that Biden gave you, 15,000 in Afghanistan, Senator Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said we're not doing enough to help those Americans. And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin admitted, we don't have the capability to go out and round up and bring that many home. In other words, another part of the failure. In the meantime, top U.S. General Mark Milley said, there's nothing that I or anyone else saw that indicated a collapse of the Afghan army and the government in 11 days. He said, well, we can deal later with trying to make things better and find out what the problems were and go through a checklist. But right now, let's focus on the mission because we have soldiers at risk. We need to get those Americans from behind enemy lines. And I would agree with that. But Biden said, intel reports that he had been told Afghan would fall quickly. Biden said, that's not true. So you're getting conflicting messages from the White House. What did Biden know or when did he know it? So there's going to have to be some additional investigations. And we have the 2022 midterms coming up. And a lot of Democrats out there, if they weren't already worried, they're going to have every reason to be worried now. And former acting director of National Intel, Rick Grenell, said, it is imperative the U.S. communicate with the Taliban. But he said, we need to be very tough in our messaging. He slammed Biden for ignoring the conditions that were set up by Donald Trump in his agreement with the extremist group. And top policy experts are warning that China is watching to see what they could do to profit, not just economically, but politically and global conquering as to what's happening in Afghanistan. I've got a guest coming up later in this hour, an expert on China, Gordon G. Chain. You do not want to miss what he has to say. I also want to ask him about China carrying out assault drills near Taiwan 2 days ago. And if China moves on Taiwan, what is the Biden administration going to do? If we can find him, maybe we would ask. Biden yesterday tried to pivot away from the disaster and said, let's talk about the coronavirus pandemic. Gave a big speech, talked about a booster shot. And then he said, I'm going to ask the education secretary to go after states with bans on mass mandates and take legal action against them. take legal action. But you know what? After the address he had, his interview with George Stephanopoulos, which there were a few questions that were legitimate. We're going to play some of them for you shortly. Biden has now cleared his schedule. No more public remarks, no more press briefings, no press conferences. It all wiped off his schedule because a lot of folks criticized that ABC News interview when the president claimed there was no better way to get out of Afghanistan. So he said, you know what? I'm just going to bunker down again. No more nothing. Nothing.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, oh, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Got me down in Mississippi where I don't want to be.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
When you look at what's happened over the last week, was it a failure of intelligence, planning, execution, or judgment?
Look, I don't think it was a failure. Look, it was a simple choice, George. When the Taliban, let me back it, put it another way. When you had the government of Afghanistan, the leader of that government getting in a plane and taking off and going to another country. When you saw the significant collapse of the Afghan troops we had trained, up to 300,000 of them, just leaving their equipment and taking off. That was, you know, I'm not, this is, that, that's what happened. That's simply what happened.
But we've all seen the pictures. We've seen those hundreds of people packed into a C-17. We've seen Afghans falling.
That was 4 days ago, 5 days ago.
What did you think when you first saw those pictures?
What I thought was we have to gain control of this. We have to move this more quickly. We have to move in a way in which we can take control of that airport. And we did.
So you don't think this could have been handled? This actually could have been handled better in any way? No mistakes?
No, I don't think it could have been handled in a way that we're going to go back in hindsight and look, but the idea that somehow there's a way to have gotten out without chaos ensuing, I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that happened.
So for you, that was always priced into the decision?
Yes.
Well, that's part of the interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, who was a political operative for the Clintons and now has a prime position with ABC. Yeah, all those folks who've had connections with the Clintons, the Obamas, Democrats in general, they've got those real cush jobs at major networks. But I'm going to give George Stephanopoulos some credit for, you know, he did raise and push a couple of, you don't think something, he stopped short of saying, you failed. You're going to admit that you failed? No, there's no way we could see this. He also said at one point, we'll come to that a little bit later, but he said, look, he said, no one's being killed right now. God, forgive me if I'm wrong about that, but no one's being killed right now. Well, I hope God will forgive you because we have had deaths, Afghan deaths so far, but possibly Americans that we don't know about yet because Biden is estimating, and the information coming from the Pentagon, we got something like 15,000 Americans spread across Afghanistan. I don't mean just in Kabul waiting for a plane to come in. I'm talking about all over, many of them outside the ring around the airport. And, of course, we've already heard from General Austin and said that we don't really have the ability to get that many people out. We don't have the ability to go out and round those people up, talking about Americans, and get them out. So they're trying to work with the Taliban, saying, will you go out and be our Uber driver and bring them in safely? Safely, will you do that for us? But there was Biden insisting, I don't know how we're going to get out of there, that chaos, that we're going to have chaos. We're going to, I don't know how he classifies chaos because we've yet to hear him call what's happening at the border a crisis. So I don't know what his meaning of for the C word of chaos is. I don't even want to try to guess, and I'm not going to try to put words in the man's mouth. But I do know this. In the midst of all of this, while he's sitting there with George Stephanopoulos and trying to come up with this excuse and that excuse and saying, we were ready, but it was going to be chaotic and it was part of the price we were going to pay. Even General Mark Milley stepped up and said that we had plans. We had plan A, B, C, D, and so forth and so on. But when you hear him explain and how he talks about this, you're thinking, you either sat in a back room with a box of crayons, kind of came up with what you were going to say, or if that's really what you guys were doing, how the hell are you in charge?
Let me make one comment on the intelligence, because I'm seeing all over the news that there are warnings of a rapid collapse. I have previously said from this podium and in sworn testimony before Congress that the intelligence clearly indicated multiple scenarios were possible. One of those was an outright Taliban takeover following a rapid collapse of the Afghan security forces and the government. Another was a civil war, and a third was a negotiated settlement. However, the time frame of a rapid collapse, that was widely estimated and ranged from weeks to months and even years following our departure.
Could it be, I want to interrupt the general for a moment, maybe they didn't see that intel and they didn't really believe it and they didn't know because they're so busy rewriting inclusivity laws inside the military and being woke and trying to decide, do we call that soldier a man, woman, or what do they want to be called? I mean, you know, is that maybe why we've been so tied up? That we've heard this before, that actually if our Pentagon and our generals are focusing all their time on cancel culture issues, they're ignoring the main mission that they have in front of them when they sign up and become a member of the military. I'm just asking, what do you think? Because I think at this point, they had no clue. Oh, and to that extent, General Mark Milley said, "Who? No one could foresee this. Come on."
There was nothing that I or anyone else saw that indicated a collapse of this army and this government in 11 days. There's plenty of time to do AARs and key lessons learned and to delve into these questions with great detail. But right now is not that time. Right now, we have to focus on this mission because we have soldiers at risk. And we also have American citizens and Afghans who supported us for 20 years also at risk. This is personal, and we're going to get them out. And we in uniform have a deep commitment to this mission.
And, of course, supposedly, they have a plan that after we do eventually get all the Americans out, and I'm willing to bet we're not going to be able to do so, and get all the Afghan supporters that we had and their families out, and, again, I bet we're not going to. Are we going to get our troops safely out then? I mean, have you made that arrangement? Have you thought that far ahead? Because Biden is still in that interview with George Stephanopoulos saying, oh, no, we're going to be done. Wipe our hands, walk away. It's not on my watch anymore.
All troops are supposed to be out by August 31st. Even if Americans and our Afghan allies are still trying to get out, they're going to leave?
We're going to do everything in our power to get all Americans out and our allies out.
Does that mean troops will stay beyond August 31st if necessary?
It depends on where we are and whether we can get ramp these numbers up to 5,000 to 7,000 a day coming out. If that's the case, they'll all be out.
Because we've got like 10,000 to 15,000 Americans in the country right now, right? And are you committed to making sure that the troops stay until every American who wants to be out is out?
Yes.
How about our Afghan allies? We have about 80,000 people.
Well, that's not the
estimate. Is that too high?
That's too high.
How
many? The estimate we're giving is somewhere between 50 and 65,000 folks total, counting their families.
Does the commitment hold for them as well?
The commitment holds to get everyone out that, in fact, we can get out and everyone should come out. And that's the objective. That's what we're doing now. That's the path we're on. And I think we'll get there.
So Americans should understand that troops might have to be there beyond August 31st.
No, Americans should understand that we're going to try to get it done before August 31st.
But if we don't, the troops will stay.
If we don't, we'll determine at the time who's left.
And?
And if there are American forces, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay till we get them all out.
Well, I think he asked that two or three different ways. You finally said, we're going to keep American troops there until we get them all out. I'm telling you, I don't have any inside intel, but I could probably take a Ouija board and come up with better answers than what we're getting out of Biden and the military staff and the Pentagon. If it is true we got 10 to 15,000 Americans scattered across Afghanistan, not really sure where, and I don't know how long they'll have to be in hiding, or they're going to be picked up by the Taliban, and the longer this drags out, the more likely they're going to be held hostage and some demands are going to be made, or heads will fall, literally. And, of course, Biden made that remark that, oh, we haven't had anybody die yet. He's talking about Americans, but we don't know that for a fact, do we? We do know Afghans have died. We know that six got killed at the airport. And we also know those images of Afghans falling to their deaths as they tried to hold on to the exterior of a C-17 leaving as it took. I mean, they're outside the plane. What'd they do? They watched a Tom Cruise movie about how to hang on a Mission 2, hang on the side of the aircraft. That doesn't work. And then some crawling into the wheel bay of some of the wheels and get crushed to death when the gear comes up. And, of course, you heard earlier that Stephanopoulos asked him about, you know, what would you think about those? We had all these Afghans falling from the plane to the president. Hey, that's 4 or 5 days ago. As if that's a year's away from what we're talking about now. Now, it all happened this week, 4 or 5 days ago. Senator John McCain, the late Senator John McCain, stood up and opposed the nomination of a man who now is the Secretary of State. At the time, he was being nominated to be Deputy Secretary of State because Hillary was Secretary of State under Obama, and he was going to be Deputy Secretary. John McCain said this guy cannot serve in any capacity like that, and now he is Secretary of State. And if that's the kind of people we've got in there, this is a perfect example. The others have some, I have some real questions about them.
Madam President, I rise to discuss my opposition to the pending vote concerning Mr. Tony Blinken, who is not only unqualified, but in fact, in my view, one of the worst selections that of a very bad lot that this president has chosen. I hope that many of my colleagues will understand that not often do I come to the floor to oppose a nomination of the President of the United States, because I believe that elections have consequences.
So that was, again, the late Senator John McCain, and at that time opposing the nomination under the Obama administration for Tony Blinken to be Deputy Secretary of State. Well, we do know that as soon as Biden got in office, the first thing he did was start going through the Rolodex from the Obama files. Susan Rice, come aboard. Blinken, come on aboard. Who else we got? Oh, who's serving the best ice cream in town? He didn't get to that we know of. Well, probably did. Probably the first one. And when you get your top U.S. General Mark Milley and you got General Austin heading up the Pentagon as decided by Biden, who says we can't get everybody out of there. We don't have any way to go out and round them all up. But you got to say, who's running this operation? Answer, nobody. And lives are at stake, American lives. But I want you to hear from McCain one more time, because he didn't just talk about that he opposed Blinken. He explained why the guy is dangerous. Stand by, please. Would you like to learn more about cryptocurrency, how to buy crypto merchandise? Get your answers at the first Crypto World Store, now in St. Charles. Grand opening Tuesday, August 24th, starting at 10 a.m. You got to see this store. For more information, visit firstcryptoworld.com. Firstcryptoworld.com.
I could be holding you tonight. I could quit doing wrong and start doing right. You don't care about what I think. Think I'll just stay here and pray.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This individual has actually been dangerous to America and to the young men and women who are fighting and serving it. I'll move on to Afghanistan. Mr. Blinken said, quote, "We've been very clear. We've been consistent. The war will be concluded by the end of 2014. We have a timetable, and that timetable will not change." This is why I'm so worried about him being in the position that he's in. Because if they stick to that timetable, I am telling my colleagues that we will see the replay of Iraq all over again. We must leave a stabilizing force behind of a few thousand troops, or we will see again what we saw in Iraq.
Those, again, were the words of then-Senator John McCain opposing nomination, Obama's nomination, to make Tony Blinken Deputy Secretary of State. Deputy Secretary. Well, now he is Secretary of State. And Blinken, as Secretary of State, is one of those that has a lot to say about what's going on with Afghanistan and the rest of the world. You look at the people that Biden has put in position, you have to really question from the very beginning. I mean, what are you doing? Just this patronage? You're just bringing everybody from the Obama White House back in? And that's why we've always asked, is this just Obama third term? And, of course, the pressure continues that is Biden capable of doing any of this? Is he capable of staying on point? The guy was missing for 5 days during all this happening originally in Afghanistan, just on vacay at Camp David. Reluctantly came back and got to the White House and delivered his statement about no one could see this for happening, and I'm going back to bed. I mean, back to the camp. And he did. And then he came out again yesterday, went back to the Capitol, the White House, I should say, to address COVID. Because I'll be willing to talk about COVID with you all day long. But on Afghanistan, he turned around and walked away. No questions. He sat down for the extended interview with George Stephanopoulos and got hammered. Hammered not so much by George, but the fact he just had no clue about answering the questions. And George was pushy, but not demanding and calling him out. But now the president is on vacay again. Yep, another vacay. Now he's going back to Delaware. I mentioned this the other day. I said, has he been on some meds or some kind of special treatment at Camp David so he could not appear in front of cameras over the weekend when all that stuff was unfolding in Afghanistan? And they didn't show up right away at the White House. I mean, you have to ask the questions. And then once he does what he did yesterday and then turns around and said, okay, I'm going back to Delaware. Better ice cream in Delaware. I'd have no idea. And he snapped at Stephanopoulos when Stephanopoulos said, well, you had to see those scenes of those Afghans falling from that C-17 as they tried to take off. It had to horrify you. Oh, that's 4 or 5 days ago. Come on. Come on. You want to talk about something right now? That'd be ice cream flavor. That's something I want to talk about. If the man has a serious medical condition, I do feel for him. But, I mean, they should not be in command. But do you want Harris in command? You can't find Harris either. She's planning her trip to Singapore. International business, we're told. More likely a shopping trip. And, of course, China and Russia are watching all this. China in particular. They've already made inroads into Afghanistan, and they're ramping up for more. And my next guest, an expert on China, is going to tell us what we can expect and what China hopes to get out of our debacle in Afghanistan.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com. It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You don't have to be a real political science major or an international political activist and analyst to understand and believe and know and fear. Russia and China are watching how we're blowing Afghanistan on the Biden watch. And China the other day immediately sent out word that we're willing to work with the Taliban. We will work with you. Top policy experts already warning that China is looking to profit, obviously, from what they're calling the disorganized inept withdrawal from Afghanistan. And my next guest is an expert on China and what their long game is. Gord G. Chain, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Well, there's several pieces I want to get into, some of what I just went through there, but I'm also want to begin that just 2 days ago, August 17, the People's Liberation Army activated using actual troops, assault drills near Taiwan using fighter jets, anti-sub aircraft, and combat ships. Well, that couldn't come as a surprise, but at the same time, what is going on?
Beijing is trying to intimidate Taiwan. One of their two main propaganda themes after the fall of Kabul has been that the United States can't protect Taiwan and won't protect Taiwan. And so we have seen these drills both in the southwest and the southeast part of Taiwan. And it's really just an attempt to tell Taipei that they've got to surrender. But Taipei, of course, won't. And we're seeing the region come together to support Taiwan, which is a very good thing, Larry.
Well, at the same time, though, if I understand right, you had to correct me on this. And again, we're listening to Gordon G. Chang. And I remind you, he's on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. In fact, every time I put your name up on my Twitter machine, the Twitter comes alive, at Gordon G. Chang. You can follow him as well. But apparently some of the experts looking at this one say it is rare that they're conducting military exercise in both areas, both seas, I should say. Is that not a direct indication, a reference that they're testing the waters, no pun intended?
Oh, they're certainly testing the waters. There was a beginning of this year, China's exercises in and around Taiwan, around Taiwan, were like daily, every single day. Then they dropped off for a couple of months, and now they're starting back up again. And I think that it's for the reason that you mentioned, that they are trying to get Taiwan to move away from the U.S. and to move away from U.S. friends like Japan. So this is really part of an integrated propaganda campaign that just started 3 or 4 days ago in the wake of the fall of Afghanistan.
So they're clearly, they're not only mocking us, but they're using it to their advantage. And if you're in Taiwan, what are your thoughts?
Most people in Taiwan, and this is from social media and the media itself, look at the general, broader, long-term American commitment to Taiwan rather than the complete and utter failure of the Biden administration. So there's really a sense that Taiwan is going to be firmly in the U.S. camp. Now, the president of Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen, actually wrote a statement a few hours ago emphasizing Taiwan's stability and friendship with countries in the region. So that's a good thing as well. But clearly, this is going to be a heated war of words among Taipei and Beijing and Washington, D.C. So this is not over yet.
Well, I'm glad you point out that all that's just words, paper flying back and forth, diplomatic-type channels. We do know that on August 4th, the State Department approved a sale of $750 million worth of military equipment to Taiwan, including howitzers, artillery, ammunition support, stuff like that. And Beijing didn't like the fact that we were basically helping them arm themselves against any possible Chinese invasion.
Yes. And also, you know, we saw the last couple of days Beijing issued a demand to the State Department that the U.S. terminate all relations with Taiwan. This was in connection with a phone call between Anthony Blinken, our Secretary of State, and Wang Yi, the Chinese foreign minister, and this was Monday. So clearly Beijing is not lost any time to issue demands to the U.S. And we're going to see more demands like this, and we probably will see more arms sales from the U.S. as well.
And are they doing it, sir? Are they doing it because, you know, they fear Taiwan, or more importantly, they fear that we are not going to hold up to our obligation after watching what happened in Afghanistan?
They're doing this because they think the Biden administration, quite correctly, is in disarray right now. Because what happened in Afghanistan wasn't just a defeat. It was a complete failure of the military, complete failure of the intelligence community, and complete failure of the national security establishment headed by the president. So it was one of the most humiliating debacles, self-inflicted wounds, which could have enormous geopolitical consequences because the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, and the Iranians, and terrorists around the world can actually take advantage of this and cause trouble at both ends of the Eurasian landmass.
Now, with that in mind, Again, you're listening to Gordon G. Chang. You can find him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. China expert. I'm looking at a response, or rather a remark, from the American Institute Enterprise, Zach Cooper, who also studies U.S. strategy in Asia. He said, it's in China's interest to try to convince Americans that China is going to press ahead on Taiwan. I think we have to avoid falling for some of that Chinese propaganda. Well, I'm not so sure it's all, it's not propaganda if they really decide they want to take it out, and which brings us to the where the rubber hits the road. If China starts moving on Taiwan, stops sending flurries of emails and texts back, but starts action, what are we going to do?
Well, there's really only one person who can answer that question, and he lives...
No, he's on vacation again. In Delaware. Is that who you're talking about? That guy?
Yeah. That guy who showed a complete failure of leadership on Monday after his address to the American public, where he turned his back on reporters and then headed back to Camp David. And since that time, and I know this is not exactly the question you asked, but I think it's important.
No, it's very important.
The American people hear this, that Biden has now changed his narrative on what he was thinking about the fall of Afghanistan. He's contradicting himself. And the Chinese and the Russians must be looking at this and wondering what the devil is going on.
Well, let's look at what could come out of Afghanistan that would be of value to China. And beginning with that, they have something, what, like $1 trillion worth of resources, copper, aluminum, gold, silver?
Yeah, Afghanistan has some of the world's richest deposits of everything. And China has a 30-year lease on a copper mine, which it hasn't been able to exploit because of the unrest. But it wants the lithium, the gold, uranium there. It wants the Taliban not to give any support to Uyghurs, who are the Turkic minority, who are being horribly repressed in China, crimes against humanity and genocide. It also, China wants to tie Afghanistan into its Belt and Road project because China wants a land bridge to the Indian Ocean beyond what it has in Pakistan. In other words, it wants to avoid the dangers of the Straits of Malacca and be able to go directly into the Indian Ocean.
Well, I was just getting ready to break, like you're looking over my shoulder, because I wanted to ask specifically about the Belt and Road. Try to give us a quick thumbnail sketch of it. And in ways, it compares what to the Silk Road of the ancient days of China?
Yeah, the Belt and Road is now a global initiative to connect China to the rest of the world. And part of it really is, a series of ports. And China wants those ports so that it can avoid chokeholds that the U.S. Navy could enforce on China, especially, as I mentioned, between Malaysia and Indonesia, the Straits of Malacca. Right now, China has one plan on Belt and Road in Afghanistan, and that's to connect Kabul and Peshawar in Pakistan with a road. But I think that's going to be very difficult for them to build because of just every enemy of the Taliban will become an enemy of China, and they will not want to see that road being built.
The other thing Afghanistan has, 80%+ of the world's heroin and opium comes out of Afghanistan.
Yes, and China has purposefully used fentanyl to kill Americans. These fentanyl gangs, the Chinese fentanyl gangs, are large and well-organized. Beijing, in a near-total surveillance state, knows what's going on. And so they're very happy to have maybe 50,000 Americans die each year of this. The story here, Larry, is not that the Chinese are murderers. We've known that. The story here is that we've had a series of presidents who knew what was going on with fentanyl who did nothing or nothing effective. So the American people should be pretty mad at their leaders for not foreseeing the situation and not doing anything about it.
And to Afghanistan, Biden is not the only president. He makes a fourth that's been overseeing it. It's just how we withdrew and the condition and the threat against Americans there. In the final 30 seconds, sir, so China is going to play every opportunity it can because they are in it for the long game.
Oh, certainly. And their long game is to destroy the United States, to subvert our government, overthrow it, which they've been trying to do. And again, we Americans have not done very much to stop them from this, even though we should know what's going on and we don't take effective action.
Excellent point, sir. As always, my audience loves hearing from you and your expertise. I always thank you for joining us.
And I always thank you for having me on. So thank you, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. You can find him on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. strongly urge you go and follow that Twitter account and pick up a lot of information he puts out on a constant basis. When we come back, is it normal for Biden to just disappear?
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
For anyone thinks that as I continue to attack Biden and that administration on handling the withdrawal of troops out of Afghanistan and not getting out American citizens and those we want to protect to begin with. For those of you who think it's just political noise, he's just trying to bang the drum because Biden's a Democrat. No, that's not it. And in fact, many Democrats are incensed. And many of what were the mainstream media, now the state-controlled media, are biting the hand that's been feeding them. They don't think he's done anything right here. And the follow-up behind him, VP Harris, no real vote of confidence there from the Democrats. Reports she's doing basically hours it would embarrass a banker. And now she's planning a trip to Singapore, supposedly some kind of international business, which sounds more like a shopping trip to me. And if she wants to deal with some real crisis, we still have the southern border wide open, illegals coming across on a constant basis. Mainstream media, state-controlled media now can look away, and look to either Afghanistan or COVID and ignore it, yet it's continuing. And all these new COVID restrictions and debates and dividing us between mask, no mask, vax, no vax, we continue to have thousands come across the border untested, unvetted. Looking at a piece from, and what I'm stressing is the issue is patriotism for this country and protecting the security of this country. And many Democrats realize that southern border open like that, that's not helping our security, especially when it comes to diseases such as COVID or Delta variant. And they're also worried about what we're doing to protect Americans elsewhere around the world and eventually this country. John Nolte for Breitbart wrote a piece about we're entering, he said, day five of a crisis where thousands of American civilians are trapped in Afghanistan and the president of the U.S. on vacation, still nowhere to be found. Talked about over the weekend as it unfolded, he said Joe Biden's decision to remain at Camp David might have been a smart one because that way you don't make a mistake if you don't come out at all. But then not coming out at all, the messaging, he said, is utter disarray. Biden didn't even walk out of the Camp David retreat, take a few questions, make a statement. No, he just hid out. Till finally he decided, okay, I guess I got to go into D.C., went into the Capitol, or rather into the White House, delivered a quick speech, and then turned around and walked out. No questions. Went back to Camp David. Then somebody said, you know, you really need to go back. Okay, I'll cut my vacation short. I'll go back again. And he went back yesterday to talk about COVID and booster shots coming. And then he turned around, taking no question on Afghanistan, and went out the door again, going home to Delaware for a vacation. And not that I really care, because she's not going to be any better, but no one sees Harris either. Where the hell's Harris? Oh, she's planning her shopping trip, I mean her international trip to Singapore. I want to thank all of you for listening and understanding that this program is not just a bash the left. This program is built primarily to support America and what we stand for, that we remain a beacon of hope for other nations and peoples. In defense of our Constitution, our independence, our freedom, our liberties, which they would love to have. Diane is a listener, a loyal listener, and from time to time I get a note from her, and she had sent me a note at one time saying she had an entire group of ladies would gather for a book club, and they decided to start listening to this program. And then after they would listen live and have some comments on it, then they'd get to their book. She said, well, you know, I'd also told you a few months ago, I just got this. She said, I got my physical therapist booked on your show. Went in to check on them the other day, actually drop off some goods for them, baked goods, and found about 20 of them are now listening. A couple of the youngest ones laughed, said, well, you know, we at least know Larry's objective. He's spot on if you want to fact check him. They then said we'd listen to the left. Now see, time after time, they had it totally wrong. But Larry is good, has the facts. It's just a viewpoint, she says, and encourages people to check things out. She said, thank you, Diane. She adds, you sell your own show with how well you cover the topics. I appreciate that. There is no other talk show like this. What Quentin and I do with this radio show, they have a staff of 6, 8, 12 in some operations, and they don't come up with a program this solid because of his work and keeping me online. And we have a passion to do this program. And more are joining as they hear. The station in town, they had Limbaugh. We all miss his passing. There's never going to be another Limbaugh. Built 25 years of an audience for that station. Now it's gone, turned their back on that entire audience. Other stations trying to jump in. But you remind everyone we're here. And in fact, many advertisers are catching on really fast. Wellington and John, Wellington Environmental and John Beale and Rottler, always longtime supporters of this station, this operation. Larry Connors USA, always supporting Larry Connors USA. And then look how many we have more joining on. Cafe Napoli coming in the other day. Ackerman Toyota joining Larry Connors USA. First Crypto World getting ready to open next week, joining Larry Connors USA. And I've got two or three others that have been emailing saying, we need to get with you. We want to be on that program. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all of you listening and spreading the word. You are making this program greater than ever, and I thank you. And, of course, I also remind you our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.